Morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. As we begin to look at the second half of this year, and as the weather gets warmer and people plan vacations and summer break, I want to remind us of the theme which I began this year when it was colder and 2019 just began, that we be people who are and show Christ crucified, that we show the world Jesus Christ crucified, and that we let people know that Christ crucified has changed our lives, and that we show it with every good second of our lives. Because I believe that, as the Bible says, if we show Christ crucified, it will have a certain effect. This effect can be found in John chapter 12, 27 through 33. John chapter 12, 27 through 33. Where Jesus Christ says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, I will have it both glorified and I will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of the world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The X factor, the Deus ex machina, if you will, the solution to everything, to every single problem, is Jesus Christ dying on a cross for our sins and eventually raising up again out of his own power. It is through that power that we have purpose. It is through that power that we have church. It is because of that we're here right now, whether we know it or not, or acknowledge it or not. We are here because of Christ crucified. Jesus died one time. He died once, but the power of his death should happen over and over and over again. So I ask that we continue to show it this year as we approach the second half of 2019, which officially does not begin in July, as somebody told me today. So let's get rid of anything that holds us back from showing Christ crucified. Let's examine ourselves and see if we are doing our very best to show the cross of Christ with our lives. Even back in the Old Testament, there was a sentiment of examining ourselves, to look into ourselves and see, am I truly glorifying God? Am I truly able to show God unblemished, free from my sins, from my selfishness, from me? Can I show God in his purest form? Let's read David's words in Psalm 26. The book of Psalm, chapter 26, David, who was so serious about God, a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. He says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hand is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord." But I love how he says in verse 2, "Examine me. Test me." He's asking for an examination. He's asking for a test. Anybody who's gone to school knows we don't tend to ask for those things. We try to delay these processes as long as possible. I know there's finals week for many students this week. We don't want that. But David's saying, "I want tests. I want examinations. How do we get to a place in our lives where we say, Lord, I want to have a test? Let's talk about a cross examination today. And if we can pass these examinations, if we can pass these tests, we can show Christ crucified, the cross of Christ, in a very powerful way, more powerful than ever before. Like Peter in the New Testament, David's flaws are revealed for all to see. David did the worst of things. A man who acted with selfishness. A man who acted violently. A man that we can criticize very, very much. David's flaws are revealed for the entire world through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, the Psalms. David is also not ashamed to say, I'm a sinner. I messed up so many times. So therefore, why does the Bible say he's a man after God's own heart? Really, David has done so many sins in the Bible, and yet the Bible says this is a man after God's own heart. Because the Bible will show that this is godliness. Not that we are God, but that we have God in our lives. Godliness is not that we are perfect, but that we have somebody with us to forgive us of our sins. Godliness is that not that we are righteous by our own power, but we recognize and know that we can only be righteous with God. And that was David, a man full of the worst kind of sins you can imagine. And yet, the Bible says this man was a man after God's own heart. Because David kept this attitude that we see in Psalm 26, despite his sinful nature, despite his sins, he said, Lord, I want to get better and better. Examine me, test me, show me what is wrong about me. So he was able to say, Psalm 26, verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. Can we pray this prayer? Can we do that? Because we are all sinners as well. Can we pray, Lord, keep on showing me what is wrong. Keep on trying me. Keep on testing me. If not, how do we get there? How do we get to that point where I can say, Lord, keep on testing me? Well, I believe that we should love God as intentionally as we did when we first got baptized. If we are Christians here today, that day of baptism, boy, that was, oh, we were on fire, weren't we? We were so eager and determined to do what was right. So we had such a desire to confess our sins. We wanted our sins to be left behind in that baptismal pool, knowing that when we arose from that pool, we'll be free. We were willing to confess our sins on that day, willing to glorify God and work hard with a fire inside of us. But as time passes, things happen. Life happens. Our fervor may have faded. So how do we get back to that same kind of fire? Well, one suggestion is this. Keep serving God. Take time out of your life given to other things that are not serving God and get back to serving God again. I assure you, the process and life and excitement of serving God, the adventure of serving God, will renew the fire inside of you. It's a guarantee. It's impossible to keep on working with God, experience things with God, experience with the church, and not regain the fire. The fire fades away if we begin to take our time and do other things that might be fun, that might be good, probably also evil. That's when the fire fades away. But get back to serving God. Get back to giving our time to God. And I tell you, I promise you, that fire will be renewed. Also, keep talking to God. Also, have God talk to us. Talking to God might be easy. Talking to God is prayer. We should still do more prayer, don't get me wrong. But having God talk to us, that's called reading the Bible. Read more of the Bible. Again, we were a baptized boy, we were all about the Bible. But let's keep reading the Bible. Let's not stop. There is nobody here who knows the Bible super well. There is nobody here who knows the Bible well enough. We can all grow. We can all learn. Keep allowing God to talk to us through his word. Serve God some more. Love him. Love the work. Love the church. Love the brethren. Realize through serving God that we serve God better and better if we love to serve him. It goes together. We're better at serving if we love what we do. And then realize that one day our sins get in the way of us serving God. Our sins get in the way of us loving God. And once we realize that the most exciting thing we can do in life, serving God is the most exciting thing you can do in your entire life. Whether you know it or not, that's the truth. Please taste and see how amazing it is. But once we get there, we see, man, my sins are getting in the way of the best thing in the world. Then we will say, Lord, I got to get rid of these sins. These sins are getting in the way of the reason why I live now, to serve you. So therefore, we will say, Lord, examine me, test me, try me. Because for us, for people who love to serve, not serving God because of sin is horrifying. And I believe David, here's why David was a man after God's own heart. He was horrified by the idea of sin getting in the way of him and God. Again, David did a whole gauntlet of sins, but David also repented as soon as he realized it was sin. And he repented quickly. With fire and passion, he repented. As soon as he realized, because he wanted to be with God so badly, he couldn't allow sin. That's why David was a man of God's own heart. And that's why David, despite his many published sins, was also one of the most effective people of God in history. He also did so many amazingly good things for the kingdom, for the people of God. David did profound, amazing things because he's a man of God. He did mighty things for God, as we all are meant to do. I hope we all know and understand we are all meant to do mighty things for the Lord. The more we are cleansed by God, the more useful we will be. I'll say it again. The more we are cleansed by God, the more useful we will be. Being a mighty and an effective servant for God is directly linked to our purity with Him and in Him. Directly, they go hand in hand. So let's allow God to examine us, to test us, so that we can be more and more useful. Again, I'm not making this up. As Jason said, these are God's words, not mine. I like that. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 21. Let's read these verses, beautiful verses here. And let the word of God speak to you. Let the word of God examine you through these words. Enjoy the word of God. And it might not be so enjoyable, but let God's word change us. This is read at this time. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the effects of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Don't get too wrapped up with this world or its sins to stay effective. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Let's read the word of God. Do what the Bible says and we're going to win. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, get this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless, at least to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Get these two verses here. Nothing else, these two verses right here, because they're part of my sermon theme. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Man, when I read that, I want to be cleansed. I want to be useful. I want to do honorable things. I don't want to be a bench warmer Christian. I don't want to be in the background. I want to do some good things for the Lord. And I realize here, wow, it's linked directly to how clean I am from the Lord. So Lord, yes, show me my sins, how I am wrong, so I can be useful. Of course, these examinations may be hard to see at times. When God tells us what is wrong with us, it may be hard to deal with. It's difficult to know our sins, to know our issues. After a real good cross-examination, yeah, we may come across things that we don't want to hear about ever again, but if we deal with them and face them, what reward is there afterwards? His tests may be hard to endure. If we say, God test me, it might be a hard test. Taking the vessel analogy, yeah, if we're washing dishes, they require hot water, they require scrubbing, they require soap. If dishes had nerves, they'd be screaming every single time. But we do have nerves. We do have feelings. And yet we may have to go through some fiery trials. We may have to get scrubbed a bit. There may be soap applied to our person, revealing our issues. They may hurt a bit. So how do we therefore still go through them? Well, I believe humility. I think oftentimes our pride gets in the way of saying, God, show me my sins. I think we want to say I'm so good. I think we want to sit back and say, I'm a good person. I'm good. I'm doing so well in life. Life is wonderful. We don't want to say, God, show me where I'm wrong. We want to say, I'm doing wonderful in life. But if we're humble, we're going to say, God, show me what's next. And if we don't have humility, pray for humility. The power of prayer is there. It's amazing to me. It clicked one day. I can pray for whatever I want. Whatever I need, I can pray for, spiritually meaning. If I'm not humble enough, okay, I will pray for humility so that I can be more a person who wants to be cleansed. And through humility and love for God and love for his service, we can become more and more effective. And we will glorify God with our lives. And we will show Christ crucified, bringing more and more people to him, as Christ promised will happen if we lift him up as he was. Imagine this. We can love God so much that we look forward to the examination and testing. Lord, I want to be tested. I'm going through a test and I enjoy it. Because I know afterwards, I'll be more cleansed and more useful. Does that sound psychotic to say, I'm going to love situations, I'm going to count it all joy when I go through trials of various kinds? That's what James says. James 1, 2, and 3. All I did was talk about how to get to James 1, 2, and 3. James 1, 2, and 3 has always been in our Bibles. We said it over and over again. We sing songs about it, but getting there may be a bit difficult. But James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be lacking, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Can we go through a trial in life and say, God, this is let's do it. This is great. I know I've become a better person as a result. Can we do that? More verses about the testing concept. 2 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. 2 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. I view this as an antivirus verse. The spiritual antivirus program, if you will. He says here again, the crucifixion thing is never, Christ, the cross of Christ is never far removed from testing. You'll notice that in the New Testament. Again, we see a link here. For indeed, he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God that resides in you. And here's the antivirus program. Run it. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Sometimes in life, we have someone in our lives who reminds us of our flaws. They have high expectations of us, and they let us know how we are wrong and what we're doing wrong. But every now and then, that person may be somebody who themselves is not doing a good job in passing their tests. You may realize one day, hey, you're not doing what you say. You think you're so special, but you know, you're critical of me, but what are you doing? And that person may say to us, well, do as I say, not what I do. So that's one of the lamest things said in the history of the world, okay? Do as I say, not what I do. How horrible. That should never pass. But God isn't like that. God is not like that. We see that God gives us all kinds of tests, and he gives us difficulties and to overcome. But I will tell you this much. Every test that we go through, God himself has gone through his son Jesus Christ, indeed. And also, God himself is not afraid that of us testing him. We may say, well, I'm going to test you, Lord. And well, God actually, if we test him with the right frame of mind, if we test him to truly get better at what we do in life, God says, bring the tests. I'll pass them myself. Look at Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Our God is not somebody who says, do as I say, not what I do. Through his son Jesus, he went through every single test we could imagine. Did you know Christ was tempted by every single sin? Christ was tempted by every single sin. We may say every sin? Yeah, every sin. He was tempted by these things, and he passed all the tests. And yet, on the cross, he put upon himself all of our sins as if he failed those tests. So Christ knows all about these tests. But God himself will say, test me and see. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. One can argue one test is, hey, do I have the faith to give to the Lord despite my own circumstances? Do I have the faith to glorify God with my first fruits despite my circumstances? In the Old Testament, God says, test and see. I'm faithful. I'll pass these tests. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord. Test me, he says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And there are many of us today who will testify to that being true. If we choose to give God our first fruits of our time, energy, money, I promise you, God will give us back in abundance like we cannot imagine. This test is true. He will not fail that test. In fact, God never fails any test. He is faithful. He is faithful. Okay, again, there's a wrong way of doing tests. I don't have time to read the verse right now. Matthew 22. 23 to 28, this is people trying to figure out ways, flaws in God. Let me see if I can find a flaw in you, Lord. That's the wrong kind of test. Let me see if I can find an excuse not to follow you. That's the wrong kind of test. But if you go to God and say, Lord, I need help. I need to know that you're real. I need to know that what you stand for is true. I need to have a guarantee that what I stand for, my belief in you has a space. Yeah, God is faithful. He is true. If our desire is real and holy and honest, you'll see he would never fail us at any moment in our lives. I think one of the most important facts about God is that he is faithful. And the older I get, the more I find it to be so good that God is faithful. The longer I live and I see so many unfaithful things in this world, not just people, things that fall apart, cars that break down, investments that don't fall through, things that don't work out. That's how life is. Eventually, everything will not work out. Even with the best of intentions, people will not work out, if only because of age and leaving. It's how life is. But God is faithful. He never fades away. He never disappears, never breaks down. Every investment we put into God, we receive back in abundance. I'm not perfectly faithful. I let folks down. I fade despite my best of intentions. But God is faithful. And when I see my own flaws, I begin to appreciate how amazing it is that God is so faithful, that he passes every test we give to him, and he is clinging to every examination. 2 Timothy 2:13, I read it already, but I want to read it again. This verse is so underrated. It says, if we are faithless, if we mess up, if we are gone, it doesn't matter because he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Praise God for that. So let's break down as we close. There's a verse I want to break down as we close today. 1 John, beginning in 1 John 1, verse 5, and going into chapter 2, verse 2. These verses all link to this sermon today, and they end with an idea. Just imagine if you were in a courtroom, and there's a cross-examination for our lives. What if we are people who are trying to get to heaven, and the courtroom was trying to find flaws in our lives, and they do a thorough cross-examination of our lives? They're going to find a lot of sins, aren't they? If the courtroom said, if I find one sin, you're a Christian, right? Okay, if I find one sin in your life, you can't go to heaven. We're going to do a thorough cross-examination right now. Well, they're going to find plenty of sins. As somebody said, some Roman was being criticized by somebody, and they found all these problems with the Roman guy, and the Roman said, I forget what his name, I'm sure probably Mark knows. He said, they didn't look hard enough, okay? If they look deeper, they see a whole bunch more sins, I've done wrong. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, people who fault find us, tell them, keep on looking, you're going to find more and more. It isn't about my sins. It's about the fact that I have Christ in my life. And at the end of this passage, you're going to see that Christ, when it turns out that we have many sins, as we all do, Christ stands up on our side as an advocate, as a lawyer, if you will, to defend us to the very end. 1 John 1, verse 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came. Oh, I'm reading the wrong verse. 1 John 1, verse 5, not 1 John 5. Great verses, but the wrong verse for now. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here it is, the blood of Jesus that came through the cross, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord for that. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us, and we also can't be forgiven if we say that. If we say we're perfect, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, though, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's also self-defeating. Confess our sins. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have somebody who is there on our side with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself, the lawyer, the advocate, is also the propitiation of our sins. He took upon himself our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. For all who are not yet in the faith, Christ died for your sins. Please accept his death in your place and live by responding to the gospel call today. If you believe in him and are baptized in the name of Jesus, you will be saved. For those who are in the faith, remember your first love. Remember your passion and your calling when you were baptized. Love him, serve him, humbly let yourself be and show Christ crucified. Allow him to cross-examine us, if you will, so we can be cleansed and useful and glorify God in this location. Let us keep on showing Christ crucified as we stand and sing.